views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring, ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies. Let it resound long as the roar.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh new smart talk all day. Uncle Freddie Munnings Jr., if you know how that song infused my spirit just now. I don't think you, no, I can try to tell you, but that's Lift Every Voice and Sing by our Bahamian American ancestor cousin, Johnson, a little excited. Bear with me as I forget names. And this version, Lift Every Voice and Sing, considered the Negro anthem, was performed by Freddie Munnings Jr., and it speaks to our intricate, complex, I even want to say inherent, that's like natural, like how we came into being. We have a relationship from that point, right? It's geographical. There is a relationship between the Bahamas and the U.S. that goes beyond politics, goes beyond any politic, and certainly, certainly goes beyond the politic of the day, right? So today we're talking Juneteenth, and we're talking Father's Day, and we're talking some other things, right? Because like, I want to know, how do fathers feel, right? How do, in this culture, the person who is deemed the head of the household, the leader of the tribe, how are they reconciling with today's politics, right? What does it mean to be the leader of a unit in a space where individuals and groups continue to be oppressed? And how do you guide, right, your family through that? By extent, how do you, as a leader of a nation, guide your citizens through that? See, that goes beyond sparse economic policy. It goes beyond supranational engagement, like what you say to the IMF and the OECD and the OECD. Anyway, that European organization that continues to tell us how we should live and work. It goes beyond that. It goes to speaking to the soul of the people. Juneteenth commemorates June 19th, 1865, the day Major General Gordon Granger arrived in Galveston, Texas, and announced the end of legalized slavery to enslaved Black Americans. More than 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation was issued, it has grown into a widespread celebration of freedom and African American history. Federal recognition. Following decades of grassroots recognition and state-level declarations, Juneteenth became a legal federal on June 17, 2021, when President Joseph R. Biden Jr. signed the legislation into law. I don't know if that junior was supposed to be there. I gotta go talk to AI. In fact, no, I'm not gonna go talk to AI because soon then I would think I'm talking to a person. Bahamian educator Stephen Moss resides in the United States of America, shared with us a number, I think, on the commemoration of the declaration of the public holiday. He says, for my Bahamians that may not be familiar with Juneteenth, it's not your fault. Many of us were taught from textbooks that elevated European history and everything Colombian and never learned that many of our own ancestors escaped plantations in Georgia, South Carolina, and Florida and found freedom in the Bahamas. Escaping chattel slavery in the U.S. is part of the fabric of what it means to be Bahamian, too. Just ask any descendant of the Black Seminoles in Red Bays or Elijah Morris in Gambier. That's Stephen Moss, Bahamian educator residing in the U.S. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning.
Boy, you got me thinking about you more than I think about my wife, because I wake up, can't wait to hear from you in the morning nowadays.
Why, thank you.
Boy, let me tell you something. Them mornings people could sing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's Freddie Mornings, and then Ray Mornings, and the beginning and the end. And mm-hmm. You know Dr. Off is a Mornings, too.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Off, Marv, he's calling Nana. That's Freddie Mornings Senior's sister.
All right.
And that's Edward Fitzgerald, Ma, and Jerome Fitzgerald, Grandma. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know I always hear some history.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So I just let you know that the mangoes and thing, but the tamarind and thing, I get a long 16-foot pole with the hook on the head. Now I could get my tamarind now.
Good stuff.
Or somebody could get the tamarind for me, because yeah. I hardly could lift the stick.
Yes,
but
sir.
I'll be just let you know, I'll be leaving Nassau around 4 o'clock today. Somebody took in me now, to my time-sharing place to spend the weekend, but I'll be back in time with my new suit to go to St. George's Church on Father's Day. You know, I don't go to church that much.
Mm-hmm.
And I was an altar boy, so I walk up the aisle with Father Toppin, right to the front pew with my wheelie walker.
Mm-hmm.
I get my communion, and then I get back on the vessel, and I go back to my time sharing place. And I just want to say happy Father's Day to all the mans them, and the gentlemen's them, and the little boys who done got baby. You all have a good time. Pray for Sparky that I go and come back safe. And tell them people who's calling and always report what I say and what I do. Just me. Let me be me. Like y'all just let Aaron be Aaron. And them other talk show hosts, who don't like me, I know what I do them.
Don't worry, Sparky. Don't worry. I thank you. And I think all the men thank you for that. Right? It's so important for men to recognize other men. Yes, it's important for women to do it too, but that's a different kind of, I would say, psychosis. But it's so important for men to recognize other men. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. How you do?
Yeah, I wanted to give Sparky an advice. He said he got a whole lot of stick up, but he gone 16 feet, he mentioned the other day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember one time I told you when you was wanted to get your poops that were hanging over the neighbor yard?
Yeah.
Sparky, you should have purchased one top rail, the fence top rail pole, man, and put the yardstick on the end of the pole, because the pole lighter.
Okay. Fence top rail pole.
Yeah, the top, what they put on the fence, yeah, the lighter, the
I understand what you mean.
1.5-inch pole.
Mm-hmm, I got you.
You know what I'm saying? They're 20 feet long, and they come 11 feet long and stuff. Other than that, so he got away and come back to St. George, and he got into my schoolmate, Andrew Toppin, who used to sleep in his bed when he was in school in St. Aug, Aaron.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
And we go to our room.
Yeah.
Okay? That's my boy. I was two sci-fi, and he's alpha.
Okay.
So, you know, and happy Father's Day to you, Sparky. But, you know, that big heavy stick, when I hear that the other day, I said, Sparky.
You ain't gonna wheel that.
Thing. Yeah, and I'm Father's Day to everybody else. Y'all have a nice day.
Thank you. I had, we had some piping, long, very narrow pipe, but talking about 15 feet of pipe, 20 feet of pipe. Very flexible and bendy. I have a dilly tree in my yard that's about 30 plus feet high. I had to use that pipe. I call it fishing for dilly. But it was lightweight, so it was easy to maneuver. All right, so Juneteenth, right? A question for fathers. How do you lead your family, and how do you engage your teenagers, right, that are at that quote-unquote rebellious phase? How do you talk to them about navigating a world that is intent on oppressing them, right? And even if that's not their intent, it tends to happen. I may or may not be referencing the clip that was shared yesterday of a meeting, I think, a press conference about the Jamaica meeting. The Jamaica meeting was about the revised lily pad plan. So it would be Trump's version of the immigration plan that Biden presented to Caribbean leaders at the LA summit in 2022. Jamaica, they still engage in the proposal, right? Jamaica said, we are not prepared to take more than 25 non-Jamaican immigrants. There's this clip of Marco Rubio basically saying, you know, to the other countries, why won't y'all just, will you do us a favor and take the most despicable immigrants who are not from your country into your country? How do we navigate that? And how do you prepare? Like, see, here's what I'm saying. How do you teach your children how to discern or determine what authority is good authority and what authority requires interrogation and possibly challenge? Right? That's one of the, how do you prepare your young people to walk this road? Now, we're not in the U.S., so the question may seem out of context, right? But I don't quite think it's out of context. A man said to me one day, buck him on the road, listen to the show. He said, Green, I hear you talking, but how do I tell my son that in a world that is leaning left, everybody leaning left, and if you like a political reference, or everybody's leaning right, but how do I tell my son that he must stand up straight and the whole world is leaning left? Right? How do you say to your children, you're going to watch a wide variety of people on this road break the law? You're going to watch them blatantly ignore the law, almost as if it didn't exist, right? How do you tell your children that despite all of that, not only do you expect them to hold the law, right? Like, you, not only do you expect them to hold the law and stay firm, right? That it is not just because of your expectation they should do it, that they should do it because it is the right thing to do. That to be a mature adult, you must know how to do what you ought to do when you ought to do it. Right? Now, this segment of the show was brought to you by two Bahamian gentlemen who I imagine are fathers, and I am very scared because I cannot think, what are they teaching their children? The second man drives a car with the plate AX1731. He works for a security company. After flying off of Collins Avenue, passed through the stop sign as if it didn't exist, and I had to engage evasive maneuvers to avoid being wiped out, the gentleman could pull up on the side of me and ask me why I tried to hit his car. And ends up throwing an object at my car. Likely on his way to work, his security job, he's securing somebody's business. The first gentleman, now, I want you all to listen to this. I want to juxtapose this to Chester Cooper, the Minister of Education's commentary around needs of teachers. Now, I grabbed the Guardian headline, Cooper, there's a national shortage of 300 teachers. But there was another headline where Cooper said, yeah, there's a shortage of 300 teachers, but like, we got to focus on the parents. And I want to say to them, you have a 300 teacher shortage and you have time to worry about the parents? And here's why I say that, because the people are going to say the teachers are leaving because of the behavior of the students, and parents are responsible for moderating that, right? Except I'm 50, and you know what that means? That means that most of the parents that you were talking about were students that came out of your dysfunctional system. Yeah? The majority of the parents you're talking about are people who came out of the very same system that you were responsible for. That's why I say focus on the 300 teacher shortage and the consistent inability to prepare schools for the start of the school year. Focus on that. Focus on finding contractors that know how to reduce a contract to writing. Find contractors that you're certain have the requisite insurance coverage. Focus on that. Because how dare you chastise the former students that are in the state that they're in because of your inadequate education system? And don't come here and tell us again, oh, y'all got this D average wrong. It's the system. We told you that. The Bahamian people are the ones who told you the D average is the system. Not the teachers and the students. The Ministry of Education consistently scores less than a D every year. So I got to juxtapose the two, because if the schools are failing, what are the parents doing? Now, Cooper can't say that. The Ministry of Education can't say it, but we could say it. What are the parents doing? Is a part of the problem that we're experiencing in school that you are dealing with children who are being raised in households with parents and guardians who are entrenched in antisocial behavior. Right? Like running a stop sign or a red light is antisocial behavior. Driving on your cell phone, despite there being a law for many years that is against the law, is antisocial behavior. Ignoring pedestrians on the sidewalk, on the crosswalk, antisocial behavior. We are prepared to bring the literal hammer. We won't beat the children, you see. We are prepared to bring the literal hammer down on these children for behavior that practically, virtually, everybody in society is modeling for them. I'm going to say it again. Virtually every government institution and agency, you can observe their marked cars on the road, ignoring basic traffic controls. Royal Bahamas Police Force vehicles on the road, ignoring basic traffic controls. So, yesterday on my way home from work, this is a tie into the education story now. I'm on E Street. There's like two vehicles in front of me. The light turns green. The big box truck has made its way into the intersection. When I get into the intersection, there's nowhere to go. Why? A car has run the red light and almost hit the box truck. And the driver of the car is rowing the driver of the box truck. So who needs ZNS when you have entertainment like this? I pull out my megaphone and I say, maybe if you didn't run the stop sign, the red light, if you didn't run the red light, you wouldn't be here rowing the man who didn't run the red light, right? The gentleman then, and I being gracious by calling him a gentleman, the gentleman then said to me, I had to stop to let the tourist cross. That's why I run the red light. You hear me? He had to stop to let the tourist cross. That's why he ran the red light. See, now this is what Cooper talking about, but Cooper can't say it. I imagine it doesn't matter how much you pour into a student in the classroom. If they go home to a household that's modeling behavior like that, what can a school do about that? How does a teacher moderate their classroom and protect other students with a classroom filled with students whose parents and home life justify and promote antisocial behavior. To be honest with you, I'm a little afraid. I'm a little scared. How do fathers raise men to navigate a world that insists that you do the wrong thing? How do you teach them to maintain their integrity? And producer, let's go to the phone line. To maintain their integrity and do what they know they ought to do when they know they ought to do it. That's the mark of freedom. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green.
Morning.
You start off great. You know, that mark of Rubio, it's a scary situation, but I just want to touch on what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being a father is who I'd rather, but, you know, my son is three. He's almost as long as my bed, but the thing is, he's going to be four in a couple of weeks, maybe July, the end of July, like a Leo, right? But listen, mm-hmm. I'm saying that it's a hard job, and I'm juxtaposing this with the social deviant behavior that you see in the schools, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing is, I ask the teachers, you know, how they deal with these children, because I love the teachers. You got to love them, Aaron. You got to love them. The government got to pay these people. You got to love the teachers, man. You know what's going on, Aaron?
Mm-hmm.
Aaron,
mm-hmm.
Go on the ground. Let's go from school to school every day. You and I would have spoken about that incident. Which school is it? Because that's a new school. It looked like a house. The blue guy.
Right, it's a small private school.
A private school, too? Well, it's scary, then. But I'm trying to figure out what was in the young man's head.
Yeah.
You know, like, how could you stumble a female that is so fragile and tender, and that's a head, and I'm scared. Okay?
Right, it's important to understand what right. was he thinking. Because here's what I mean, right? We must acknowledge that many of our young people are living in conditions that would be considered inhumane in developed countries for young people, right? They live in with parents with, either through just bad-mindedness or absolute desperation are prepared to prostitute the kids, right?
I want to get this in here.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't it surprising or ironic that social media is breeding antisocial behavior and allowing antisocial and belligerent narratives to be perpetrated through their platform.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I just want to throw this out there. Dwight Strong gave me a new thought as it relates to something I throw out there, but he misunderstood what I'm saying. But in doing that, it actually opened up something that is caused for discussion as it relates mm-hmm. to the odometers on the cars and as it relates to them saying that you didn't license your car for a few years, so you would pay for the years that you didn't have a license. So I was saying, maybe if they record the odometer, and then when the person comes subsequently, they can juxtapose that as to whether the vehicle is in operation or not.
Absolutely.
And might raise the question as to whether you should pay less according to your odometer. But that wasn't what I was driving at.
Mm-hmm.
What I was driving at was the imbecility in the law. I'm just trying to find a solution
mm-hmm.
that they can use the odometer. And that can tell you if a person was using the car, given that I found it hard to believe that somebody could be riding the car for years without being booked. And Carlo highlighted what I said. You know, I respect that boy, Carlo Bell. Trust me. He got a brain between his ears. Give thanks. Yeah.
I got you. Blessings. Let's go to the next caller. Thank you, 52. Good morning, caller. Oh, we got you. Coming right now. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. And hello.
Hi. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. And happy Father's Day, especially to 52 and all the other fathers of the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm. Let me throw two words in there. Happy Father's Day, Leslie Mins. Happy Father's Day, Reg Eldon. Happy Father's Day, Wes Thompson. I just throw in some names in there. Yes, indeed.
Daddy's a special people, too.
Mm-hmm.
And the song say they love just as mommy do, and I change the line and say they love more than mommies do.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I believe so. if it's physically possible, right?
The only thing is they couldn't give birth.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And so they must love them more. Like, it almost feels like they must love them more because the mother's connection is not a choice.
Correct. But on the matter of the education situation, I'm happy that we are discussing education and not waiting until the actual results come out
mm-hmm.
later on in August to standardize the entire education system.
Mm-hmm.
All schools, private school, cottage school, house school, whatever it is, and check on the qualifications of these individuals, these persons. And I dare say that you need a teacher's diploma and also the degree and the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be standard across the board. And it also should be verified and checked from time to time. Everything that is done needs to be verified and checked.
Yes, sir.
Even spot checks.
Yes.
Rather than unannounced checks. Mm-hmm. To make certain that everything is done in decency and in order. And I would want to recommend also that the subvention, the grant that government gives to schools, ensure that teachers are paid properly.
Mm-hmm.
And across the board. That's about 300 teachers the government needs.
Yeah.
When they find them, they are fully qualified and they be paid decently. All other teachers in the land should be equally the same way.
Yes, sir.
Now, education in itself doesn't do the trick, because I'm certain that some of us, I said some of us, because mm-hmm. maybe I was guilty on occasion, may use my phone in the car, but we all need to do better.
Mm-hmm.
And we all need to abide by the law.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Thank you, ma'am.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Aaron, good morning again.
Morning.
I'm calling about the follow up on my schoolmate, 52 Corn, where you speak about the odometer in the car.
Mm-hmm.
It makes total sense, because, you know, we send these people to Parliament and they ain't gonna bring, all they want to do is tax and overburden us with these Garcimi cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Another point, on the subject, right?
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine, she told me just the other day, it was last week, that she purchased a car, but she ain't have no driver's license. And she had to put the car and license the car in her baby daddy name.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they had a dispute a couple of weeks ago, whatever, and she said she has to put up with him because I want to separate, but say the car license in her name.
Mm-hmm.
Now, someone has told me that they wouldn't license a car unless you have a driver's license. What sense does that make? Because if you or your grammy want to own their vehicle and put it on the road, why do they have to have a license to own the car? Only the driver needs to have a license to drive the car, right? Aaron?
Oh, listen, I'm thinking about it. You can't hear my brain turning?
Because guess what?
Mm-hmm.
I never got no pilot's license, but I own the plane that I own. Some of them don't have no pilot license, but they own the plane. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Ownership of something is one thing. When you buy a yacht, you don't have to be a boat captain to own your yacht, but you don't have to turn it over and put it in the captain name. Right?
I hear you. That's what I'm saying. I'm thinking about it. Listen,
yeah, only,
thank you. I got a couple more callers.
Okay.
I have the article here, Auto Dealers Blindsided by Title Certificate Reform. If we get a moment, we could go through it. I got plenty of questions as well. I have lots of questions as well. And I think the questions are warranted. And why do I say that? Because stakeholders with greater proximity to the conversation have indicated, and if I can read from the article, confirming that himself, that is Fred Albury, and other dealers were unaware of this requirement until this newspaper brought it to their attention. He said more clarity is needed on the proposed processes and how it will work and be executed in practice. That is Fred Albury, principal for the Auto Mall. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. We missed you. Let's go to the next call. Good morning, caller.
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Man, I had to call you back. Did I hear you say West Thompson a little while ago?
Yeah, Mr. West Thompson.
Boy, me and you must be family, me there. West Thompson, April the 12th, 1975, when I got married, West Thompson for my wedding present, a very big, what you call it, not great name, St. Bernard dog named Rick or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the dog grew so big. I was living on Madera Street. The dog grew so big, it was nearly tall as the wall. And when people, you know, how much people had cars back then.
Mm-hmm.
When people were walking up Madera Street and to the gate, the women and them would run across the next side. I almost saw people get knocked down because of the dog. And he was so, like a pet, he wouldn't mess with nobody, but he was huge.
Mm-hmm.
I had to give him away to my brother through East Avenue, Centerville. You know how the dog died? he grabbed hold of an electrical cord, was hooked up on the back patio, and he electrocuted himself to death. Big, big, huge fake Bernard. Thank you, Rex. Vest still living, please. Is he still alive?
Uncle Vest? Yeah, man.
Well, him, between him and my brother, they're the two calmest, well-dressed men I ever remember seeing in my life. I think he's one of the first import-export guys around here, too.
I hear you.
We'd always see him walking up and down around by Sheridan, Bay Street, I think, with his briefcase.
Yes, sir.
Cool, calm, and collective. Never row. Always with a smile. Have a great day, Vest Thompson. Boy, hello.
There you go. Thank you. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
Hey, my name is Green. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Right, I'm on. Guess what? I'm glad you brought up this topic, right? Because the problem is, these kids, I look around, right? I say, you know something? Something wrong with these kids. And I say, you know something? Something ain't wrong with these kids. Something wrong with us.
Mm-hmm.
I can give an example of what I'm talking about right now, right? I have experienced night before last, right? I saw this car pass, and I don't drive on my driveway because I paint the whole thing white.
Mm-hmm.
I see this car drive directly up on the white driveway screen, mm-hmm. right? Then now the driveway, white. So now the person politely drive all the way on the driveway in my yard.
Mm-hmm.
Then they go on the next door neighbor. So now you know your boy going on says his pajamas. I slide down the car, I say, man, excuse me, please don't drive on my driveway. I say, I don't drive on my driveway. You know the person can tell me?
Mm-hmm.
They say, excuse you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ms. Green, these people got children, so what you think the children are learning, right?
Yeah.
So now tire tracks all over my driveway. So now the next day I come, I see more tire marks on my driveway.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what I do? I go and put all kind of blocks across my driveway.
Yeah.
Then yesterday, the security guard called me and said, the people complain about the blocks on my driveway.
They complained that they can't park on your property without your permission.
All right then.
Yeah.
These are some sick people, you know.
Crazy, crazy. You see, and people hear us telling these stories and they think that we're the crazy ones, right? With all them traffic stories I told you about yesterday and this morning, you know, on my way home, like getting to my neighborhood, the entrance to my neighborhood was blocked by an accident. And I could tell you, I could almost guarantee that one or two of the people in those vehicles was on their phone. On their phone. What do fathers say to their children about navigating the world and the authority that exists within it? How do you, in a country where state actors and politicians actively and overtly obfuscate and do whatever they can within legal bounds to not do what they know they ought to do, how do you then walk your children through this road and instill in them an integrity that they can walk with, whether it is an integrity rooted in their relationship with their God and the fear of their God, or the fear of their God, whether it is a relationship with family and community and a fear of being a shame to the community and to oneself? Like, how are we going to do that? Producer, let's go to a break. When we get back from the break, we're going to hit the text line. And, like, I get one question, right? Halkidas, $140,000 for FOIA is enough. Now, we have been calling for Mr. Halkidas, and I say we, various sectors of the country, connected and unconnected, have been calling for Mr. Halkidas' resignation. The Prime Minister... I don't even, because if you don't have nothing nice to say, you don't say nothing, right? But if we needed sure, sound grounds to Halkidas to take his resignation, surely it's him looking in our face and telling us $140,000 for FOIA is enough. Given they picked up the commitment to fully operating FOI. You could resign for this. Forget all the scandalous stuff, you know. Just take your leave now. Take your leave. We're going to a break. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. We'll be right back. Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I wait?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Struggling to find your financial rhythm? Make that move to Fidelity and let us help you orchestrate your financial goals into perfect harmony with free financial coaching sessions. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Put more money back in your pocket with the Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly debt payments down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
At Cleveland Clinic, you set your course, not cancer. So when your journey takes an unexpected turn, you seek out the experts who've conquered it before, and you forge new paths to help fight cancers. For every route to a cure, for every care in the world, see how we're innovating cancer care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Guess who's back?
It's the time again for the 31st annual Michael Scudery Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic.
Classic. Bring it on now. Let's go.
Whether you're a player or a fan, you don't want to miss this one. The action starts July 13th at the Hope Center. Log on to peaceonthestreets.com and register.
Come on, everybody. We're going.
That's the Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic.
Where we shoot hoops instead of guns.
Game time.
I have a dream.
Lift every voice and sing, till earth and heaven ring, ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoice.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. Okay. I got a text in the break, and it sort of is going to take us to our next segment. And it ties into the last segment. This week, one of the Guardian hosts asked women to let people out the corner. I messaged to say that many people are using social, quote, fairy tales, close quotes, for road rules. The basic rule of road use is, quote, do not impede the flow of traffic, close quotes. That means do not stop for random people crossing anywhere. And do not stop if your light is on green. Your light is on green to facilitate a system that ensures a given number of cars cross the light. You stopping means that flow is now impeded. Here's why it's important, because if we do have social scientists that are social sciencing, then they should be able to observe that there may be a correlation between attitudes around the election, not necessarily the results, you know, just around the whole thing, and the rate of devolution, right? The rate at which the driving behavior gets worse and worse. People just stop in their car in the middle of the road. Like, the traffic is flowing and all of a sudden your lane of traffic comes to a stop. Not because somebody's being let out of a corner or anything. The car just come to a stop. I want to talk about Parkgate Road for a second, right? Because I think that's a great example. Parkgate Road going on to Village Road has two lanes. You turn a right lane and a left lane. The left lane has a left turn signal. So if it's off, that means you can't turn left on red. Fine. The lane opens up into two lanes at some point, and there are some lines in the road that give you a little extra space if you're turning right so that you can accommodate the flow of the cars that are turning left, right? I don't think anybody knows what those lines in the road are for. I think that that traffic signal would enable anywhere from 12 to 15 cars to exit that corner on any given red light. However, due to the number of people that run the red light on the Village Road side, and due to how slowly it takes for people to start moving, If five cars could get through that light at any given time, we are lucky. We are lucky, right? So that's to the traffic part. To the women part, women. So what the implication is that women are mean. No, women aren't mean. The rules are the rules. Like, why would y'all tell somebody that they're mean for following the law? And you're doing this in front of your children. You are ascribing an attitude to somebody because they wouldn't break the law to accommodate you. I have to tell people all the time, if you don't call me when you're criming, why you want me to help you crime now? You don't call me when you're doing the fun crime and stuff, but I must break the law to help you break the law? That's what you're teaching your children. Okay, so here's the tie-in to the other part. Have y'all seen this new website, whatmoreyallwant.com? Y'all need to check that out. Whatmoreyallwant.com. Now, before you go check it out, I can tell you, it's in the Quality Bahamas website. It is awesome. I think you're going to find it an easy site to access and some very important information there. I want to turn us quickly to column in Wednesday's Tribune by Alicia Wallace. Just how much misogyny can we stand in a single week? Last week, Tuesday, it was reported that Corrections Commissioner Dawn Clare told new recruits that women would be quickly dismissed for any missteps because the squad has, quote, an abundance of them. You mean women? Too much. Our waiting list now is over 400 females trying to get in here, but it is the males who I will try to massage, wash your toes, and wash your feet to try to get you in line, close quotes. Here's the first question. Men, who are preparing young men and women, but in this part, men, to enter the world, and you send in your son to become a part of the uniformed forces. How do you feel knowing that this is how the man in charge talks about the men. I will try to massage, wash your toes, and wash your feet to try to get you in line. This is the prison, you know. If this is a prison, what? Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good, good. This is Shivago Lang, actually.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I had to call you to tell you this.
Yes, sir.
As you were talking about traffic,
mm-hmm.
I am at a red light, and a young man on a motorbike stopped at the red light for a little while,
mm-hmm.
and then he decided it was taking too long and just pulled off.
Yes. This is a common occurrence now.
Just as you were talking, this was happening.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
Never mind. No problem.
Absolutely. If we are seeing it, why aren't the people responsible for dealing with it? Why are they not seeing it? Because here's the thing. We get back to that de-average conversation, right? And how we are creating people who cannot navigate, the world, right? Whenever a police officer says, drive with extreme caution because the people speeding out there. If you know the people speeding out there, why you ain't there where they speeding to go catch them? If you know the people driving drunk, I must accommodate them. I must drive at 5 miles an hour to accommodate the people who you know driving drunk, who you know on their phone, who you know speeding. You know where they are and what they're doing, but I must accommodate them versus you actually enforcing the law? Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. Oh, man.
Hello.
Hi, good morning. I can hear you now.
You can hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good stuff. Yeah, as you talking about traffic, you know, I'm here on Gladstone Road, and it seems that the common theme by many drivers is because the line of traffic is long heading to get to Bahama Boulevard or travel JFK going east, what the people do is they come around the little roundabout thing, go up by Fusion, come back, go down the gift, they're going towards the airport.
And then
when they get down, they force their way into the traffic, you know?
Yes.
The other day I had a company, Guardian Security Company, their truck. I'm about five cars from the entrance in the JFK. And he just brings his big armored car truck and just bullies his way right in front of me. And I'm blowing my horn, and he don't care. He just pushed his way through, and I had to stop because, you know, otherwise he would hit my vehicle, and then I would have to go through all the process. And so I drove up past them to catch and they were going the same direction I was going in, to get their number of their company. And I called the complaint into their company, you know, and I said, you know, this is embarrassing that your drivers are doing this in a branded company vehicle,
mm-hmm.
because it brings a bad look on you. You guys are supposed to be a security company, which is right below police. You guys are supposed to then
mm-hmm.
try to, your employees should be adhering to the law.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish that the police would station somebody here in the busy times. Like, look at his cars. I'm talking to you. Two cars coming down doing the same thing
yep.
that I'm just talking to you about. Why don't they need to have a policeman right here and start booking these people?
I mean, listen, police cars are on the road. Why aren't those police cars enforcing the traffic controls?
They're not doing it. They're not doing it. And then they wonder why people just have this lawlessness state with respect to what they do on the roads, you know?
Yes, sir.
People make three lanes and everything. And we need, and you know what? They go to America or Canada, they ain't going to do this foolishness because they know they can get a ticket.
Straighten up. Hey,
you know?
Freddie Munnings have a version of straighten up and fly, right?
I'm yes.
telling you. Thank you, sir.
Anyway, take care. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Let's go to the good morning caller.
Hey, morning, Aaron.
Morning, morning.
Morning, how are you?
Good, good.
Great. Hey, listen, Aaron, I was listening to an ad that was done on the other station, the People's Station,
mm-hmm.
by the Parkinson Foundation. And then I heard this announcer. He announced that Food International Chefs. Now, I took that obviously as I was offended by that. I think maybe my colleagues would feel offended by that. Not because they have these foreigners at the face of these departments means that they are cooking the food, okay? Those food are always prepared by behemoths.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay,
so he don't need to be saying that.
All right. But perhaps they are ignorant of the
yes.
procedure, how it works. Like, you may have an international name on the front, but the actual
yes.
cooking is
yes.
done by Bahamians. I got you.
Yeah, definitely. Also, if you listen to my show this morning,
mm-hmm.
I applaud my colleagues, Young Chef Simon Hall and also Anthony Williams.
Okay.
If you would heard them mention about how could you have catch of the day on the menu, you know, when the weather's bad and then, you know, the fish is not from here. Remember just yesterday I was talking to you about how they can actually buy into the Bahamian product and we can sell the product.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the only way to be, to hopefully be true to that, obviously, is to put these saltwater fish tank in these restaurants
mm-hmm.
and also have the guests choose the fish they want. It'll send net, fish net out of the pot, send it back to the kitchen and it's prepared and Kim comes right back to the guest.
Yeah.
You can show them the head, the bones, that was the fish prepared.
Yes, sir.
No, and that's easy.
I got you.
Okay? But also, yeah, also to that effect, for him and see, when I come, each time I travel and I come to the airport,
mm-hmm.
you know, Atlantis and Bahamas had this big post up that, you know, these foreign chefs, you know,
mm-hmm.
and if they're supposed to be selling our culture, for him it should be displayed there.
As
the
well.
Government, you know,
yeah.
it should be mandated.
I got
you. People are coming here to visit and experience our culture.
Yes.
So they don't need to have these, you know, these things. Guests want to see Bahamas.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
That's why they come to the Bahamas.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So please, you know, have them promote us more, okay?
Yes, sir, absolutely.
And don't disrespect us like that.
No.
Because we are better or good just as they are.
Mm-hmm. I got you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I got a text from today and yesterday, how you said that people come to the Bahamas to be and experience the Bahamas. That's why when Pharrell, who I used to love until he blurred the lines, when he's proposing this hotel project called Somewhere Else, I said, that don't make any sense. Why would you come to somewhere else when you're in the Bahamas? Anyway, the point is this. I had a text yesterday that I didn't get to read, and I'm sort of glad I didn't because it requires its own show. It requires a whole segment. The texter said, we will not and cannot have overnight cruising in the Bahamas because the cruise ships have to get to other islands. Right? And it hit me right there. You so correct, texter. The question that we have to ask our government is, are you building a tourism product for, of, with, and by Bahamians in the Bahamas? Or are you negotiating a space in a broader regional tourism product that you have very little control over? Are you negotiating a tourism product created for, with, by the Bahamas and Bahamians? Or are you negotiating for the best place in a Caribbean tourism product that you have very little control over? Right? We got to do a whole show on it. I think that is an excellent point to make. And thank you, texter, for sharing that with me. Now, I got another text here. It says, Aaron, that guy is crazy. You have a driveway and don't drive on it. So what you have it for? First of all, I have it to have it. Second of all, I have it to display my plants on it. Third of all, I have it whenever it's my mommy or my auntie or my daddy or my uncle's birthday. Or mommy begged me because his sister from the church by Davies do the little lunch there. The point is my driveway. It's my goddamn driveway. And I could do with it what I want. And if I tell you don't park on it, how dare you go try find an authority to tell you you could park on my property, I tell you can't park on. That's why. Yeah. You know, we have to deal with it. The guy who say, yeah, 1,000 mangoes is fall every month, but there's my mangoes and I can let them rot. You can't just jump in the man yard and thief the mangoes. You could call health and safety. You could call animal control, right? You could use the existing authority, but you can't call the police and tell the police, let me in this man yard to pick up these mangoes because he don't want them. All right. So we got this. I'm going to read also from this column from Alicia Wallace. Next week, but I want to get through the text. It says, those people that drive recklessly are very aware that the police are not really checking. Yes, they are. Good morning. Sadly, this disrespect for the rules of the road will never change. Those in the top ranks of the police force are not really interested in enforcing the law. No, they not. Evidenced by the motorcycle cop this morning on Market Street that stopped his bike on the pedestrian crossing. On the D average result, many B and A averages during regular grading until national exam comes around and get caught up with the contradiction that standards were never met along the way. Okay, so you're saying that students are performing poorly on the exam because they may be getting good grades, but the teaching is not necessarily up to the standard? Okay, I'm not sure, but we can interrogate that. Thank you for the contribution. The text here says, good morning, Aaron. I think half of these people don't have a driver's license at all. When police are doing random checks for inspection, get drivers in the practice to show their driver's license. And yes, unfortunately, you can still buy your license. Here's my thing. Did you know Royal Bahamas Police Force? If you see a driver turning left on red at an intersection that where they're not permitted to do so, you could pull them over and ask them to see their driver's license and their insurance, and then you could get them a ticket. Did you know that? Here we go. They busy eating cake. I'm not reading the rest of that text. The text is saying, Mr. Lang must be in New Providence. Good day. Our politicians like to play in our face, but I guess disrespect for the people who elected you is progress. I need to change my view of what progress is, my bad. Here we go. Hold on. Text says, do they still sell rams? I need one. Listen, if I could get Sawyer Boy to bring me one of them big mutton from Long Island, I'd park my car and drive mutton every day. The text says, Aaron, I don't want no man massage me or wash my toes. Blows, who knows? Listen, that right there, we're going to get back into that article. Because if you wondered what was the problem with what Mr. Clare said, that's the problem right there. Men, fathers, uncles, uncles, grandfathers, happy Father's Day. I will continue to create a space for fathers, men, and fathers in particular to talk about what they need. As we close the show, an avid listener told me to throw this idea out there. Would fathers want for Father's Day to commemorate it, right? To support healthy paternal relationships, right? Fathers and children. Could we encourage businesses, the paternity test businesses, to provide free or subsidized, discounted paternity tests for children who desperately want to know who their father is? And for fathers who are desperately trying to gain proof of paternity. Would businesses be willing to do that? And is that something that fathers want? And here's the question. What if it's what the children want? Should a man submit to a DNA test to facilitate a child determining who their daddy is? That's the music. You guys have a great day. I gotta get out of here. It's Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next. Happy Father's Day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.